We're going to go ahead and get started. I know there'll be some latecomers, but that'll be okay. We'll just kind of, I have a couple things to mention before I introduce our guests. Welcome to the Hudson Library and Historical Society. My name's Polly. Welcome to the first session of our MBA Light program. It's a series of four programs this fall. I believe the topic is Persevere and Prosper. I do have a couple things I want to remind and just tell you about. We do have our new entrepreneurship calendar. If you haven't grabbed that, please do. It's in the back. We have, in addition to all of the MBA Light programs, we have a full series of other business programs that might be of interest. Additionally, we have our adult programs half sheet, and on the back is tech programs that you may also be interested in. We teach Excel, PowerPoint, Prezi, Word. We're doing a QuickBooks, LinkedIn, lots of things on here that may be of interest as well. I am pleased. Oh, and we also have a lot of handouts to discuss in the back. Request for counseling. You can sign up to work with someone on business counseling, and we offer that for free at the library through a couple of our partners. I'm pleased to introduce Dan Faust and Mike Knock for Finding Experienced Mentors. Mike Knock is the founder and CEO of Knock, Inc. He was the founder and CEO for 22 years and now is the founding director of the Blackstone Launchpad Program at the Baldwin-Wallace University. Dan Faust is the program manager of the Baldwin-Wallace Center for Innovation and Growth and has over 20 years of experience in marketing and event planning. Please welcome Dan and Mike.
Thank you, Polly, and thanks, everybody, for being here. I've got just a few introductory remarks before Dan and I go into our slideshow. First of all, I'd like to express my gratitude for the invitation from the Hudson Library. It's a fantastic institution, and we love being here. Dan and I talk almost all the time to students, so it's fantastic to see some adults in the room. So we used to say, did they ever hear the Beatles? Well, now it's like, did they ever hear a Coldplay? So it's great to hear, great to see some older faces out there. I also want to express my gratitude to the Burton D. Morgan Foundation. Obviously, they have a lot to do with what happens here at the library. They're also major funders at Baldwin-Wallace University. They were instrumental in the foundation of the Center for Innovation and Growth, where Dan and I are both a part of, and of course they're co-funders, co-sponsors of the Blackstone Launchpad program in Northeast Ohio. So, as far as Burton D. Morgan goes, we have a lot to be grateful for. And also, I'd like to express my pleasure at being here. My personal affection for Hudson. I met my wife here about 14 years ago. Her folks still live in town. They're at Laurel Lake now. I'm a little mad at them because they've moved to a much smaller place. Annie and I used to bring the kids out to their house. It was like our country home. And now we can't do it anymore. We all can't fit in their little villa. But I've been to Hudson many, many times. It's a great town, and so it's great to be here. I also need to mention that Dan and I are indebted to various sources as we put this presentation together. As I said, Dan and I do mentoring of students almost exclusively and all the time. And we've also been beneficiaries in our lives of mentoring, for many, many years. So we know a lot about it from that perspective. But as far as this narrow definition of how to find an experienced mentor, we need to do a little bit of research. So I need to mention a few sources. First of all, we got a lot of help from literature we found from the mentoring programs at MIT and at Stanford, two of the premier mentoring programs in the U.S. We did various web searches and read various articles, too many to mention. I should say also that we spoke to Peter Ray, who was the founding director or the founder of the Center for Innovation and Growth, and a well-known mentor around town. We got great advice from Peter. And finally, one more reference to the Burton D. Morgan Foundation. There is and I'll talk about it a little bit later, there is a Jumpstart Burton D. Morgan Foundation mentoring program that I believe is the gold standard in town. So I'll give you a few words about that. As I mentioned, the topic is a little narrow, you know, how to find an experienced mentor. So what Dan and I talked about was broadening it out a bit, talk about all sorts of mentoring, why you'd want to be a mentor, why you'd want to be mentored at all, and hopefully we can discuss through the evening or give you enough information to help you find that experienced mentor on your own, okay? Hopefully that approach works for all of us. In the end, it really is up to you. If you're looking for a mentor, it really is your decision. So hopefully with enough information, you'll be better prepared. A couple of quick apologies. One is that Dan and I prepared this together, but a little bit independently. There could be a couple of parts where we've overlapped. And our final apology is that I, at least, as recently as 3 years ago, had never done a PowerPoint in my life. And I'm at the point now where I almost cannot greet my children at night without a PowerPoint. So it is such a crutch. Bear with me. There are times when I'll try not to just read off the screen, but it may happen. All right. Quick bios, because you can never hear enough about yourself when you're presenting. First of all, Dan Faust, my esteemed colleague. He's a lifetime Clevelander. He's a program manager, as you heard, at the Center for Innovation and Growth. His responsibilities include planning all of the SIG events. It's a robust event schedule every semester, and Dan is in charge of that. He has heavy involvement also with the student intern program, the student fellow program, and with the growth practice. Dan cut his teeth in the world of sports marketing. His longest stay was with the Cleveland Indians at over 10 years. 20. Wow. And then he made his way into higher education. Dan lives in Strongsville with his three children and his wife. Graduate of Strongsville High School, Miami University, and he has an EMBA from BW. He's my colleague at the SIG, Center for Innovation and Growth. He is my date tonight, and the reason I'm here, I think he just didn't want to drive. So he invited me to join him.
Thank you, Mike.
As you heard, I'm the director of Blackstone Launchpad. There are four Blackstone Launchpads in the Northeast Ohio area, one at Kent State, one at Lorain, one at Baldwin Wallace, one at Lorain County Community College. It's an entrepreneurship program for college students, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. All right. Now, enough about us. I would like to hear just one sentence, if you would, tell me who you are and where you're from, just so we get a sense of the audience, and maybe we can tailor things a little bit better that way. Would you start here in the front row? Just tell me your name and where you're from. Yep.
I'm Tim George, and I'm from Stowe, Ohio.
Stowe, Ohio, okay. Stowe also. Twinsburg, okay. All right. Cuyahoga Falls.
I'm Jenny, I'm from Stowe.
Stowe also, all right.
I'm Kevin, I'm from Columbus.
All right. Beautiful, Uniontown, and? Silver Lake, okay. Okay.
Nancy Malvia from Hudson.
Thank you. All right. Okay. 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 All right. And you're from? Fantastic. That's great distribution. Definitely Summit County oriented, but kind of all over the place. So thank you very much for coming out. All right. Dan? What did we say was going to happen now? Oh, there's a slide. Before we did present this, I thought I would do a quick survey of other MBA programs around. And as you can see, this is kind of small, but I'll tell you that The most of these programs, Dartmouth, Chicago, Virginia, Harvard, if not in excess of $100,000, are just about $100,000. And my understanding is that this one is free. So this is a fantastic deal. You've made a very smart decision. And in my estimation, people like you probably don't even need an MBA, having made that decision to start. Do you have the clicker? Okay. And the other thing I wanted to start with is tell you briefly that the distinction between mentoring and advice. Mentoring really is a relationship. It's not something that there's just one question that gets answered. Sometimes if you just ask somebody one thing, you can get some bad advice, and God knows what can happen next. So, but Dan will tell you more specifically what mentoring is.
Yeah, I can click. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Before we get started tonight, I wanted to poll everybody here in the audience tonight as to what they think when we talk about a mentor. What do you think a mentor is, or what that entails? Anybody have an idea back in the back? A teacher of sorts, good. A coach, okay. Support person, great, great answers. Anybody else lift up anything about a mentor? I thought since, go ahead. Sure, someone that's an inspiration, causes someone to be more excited about where they're at and where they're headed. So I thought I would, working in higher ed, I thought I would think about, you know, what the definition of a mentor is, and knowing that I was coming to a library, I thought, I don't even have to look it up on Google. I can walk right to the shelves, get to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and find out that a mentor is a wise and trusted counselor or teacher, an influential senior sponsor or supporter. So we heard a lot of those elements in what you all described as what you thought a mentor might be. Also made a note that the earliest mentor is found in the Odyssey. So Mike and I talked about what a mentor might be, and our definition, certainly not all-encompassing, but one that you might think about, an informal advisor that an individual can rely on for advice or support, as someone else mentioned. So I thought I'd start our discussion tonight and talk about maybe some famous mentorships. People that maybe you've heard of, maybe you've seen. Going along with the baseball theme here along the side here and my baseball background. How about Nuke LaLoosh and Crash Davis from Bull Durham? How many of you have seen Bull Durham? All right. You think Crash Davis was a mentor to young Nuke LaLoosh, letting him know the ins and outs of minor league baseball and how to make it to his ultimate goal? In reference to Robin Williams, and how many of you have seen Good Will Hunting? Sean McGuire to young Will Hunting. Good mentor relationship in that movie as well. One of my favorites, Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san. Enough to make three movies about that mentoring relationship. So long span relationship between the two. An oldie but a goodie, Mickey and Rocky. A great mentoring relationship. Someone that had a goal, someone that was training, coaching that person to be the very best that he can be. And I had to include this one because I'm a Star Wars geek. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker. So this gives a little bit of a spin on maybe what you might see in the movies or what the movies might think about or might portray as a mentoring relationship. Can anybody else think of, or have you heard of, other mentoring relationships, be it famous like in the movies, or maybe some in your own lives that you've experienced?
Yeah,
Right. Million Dollar Baby, which is another great movie, a boxing movie. A woman that was a boxer and being mentored by someone within the industry by Clint Eastwood. Great example. Any other movie references? I always like to start off with movies. That's kind of an even playing field. Everybody's experienced those, so that's good. So why would someone want a mentor? So you're thinking about yourselves and maybe some goals or aspirations that you have, and why would someone go out and seek someone to offer advice or to be a coach or to be that support system? So I've listed a couple different things maybe that would prompt some thinking about or some action to go out and seek someone to be a mentor. Maybe you're at a personal or professional crossroads. You need some advice. You're looking for some coaching. You need some decision-making help. Maybe it's going to the business side of things, and we'll talk about how mentors can be both personal and professional. But from a business side of things, maybe it's you're navigating a startup business. You're an entrepreneur. You have this great idea. You want to push it forward, but you need some help from people that have been in your situation before, maybe have some direct experience or indirect experience that can help you get over that hump, so to speak. Growing an existing business is another opportunity to go out and seek a mentor or a mentor relationship. When one climbs the corporate ladder and starts to get in higher positions in a company, managerial positions, many of you heard that it's lonely at the top. And oftentimes, those people that you relied on when you were making your way up to that position start either becoming yes men or yes women for you, or they drop off your map in terms of advising. And you need some unbiased advice. You need some impartial people in your life to help guide you through some tough decisions sometimes that upper level management folks have to make. To help achieve a goal, if you have a certain goal in mind that you want to get to, oftentimes a mentoring relationship comes into play then. And sometimes you might not even know that you're in search of a mentor. It might just happen because you strike up a relationship with someone. You start to learn that you've got some similar interests, or you have some similar backgrounds, or maybe you don't have similar backgrounds, but this person has some traits in them or has some advice to pass on to you that you feel is helpful, and you keep going back to that person. And there's a nice coexistence between the two of you, that there you feel comfortable with each other. You can open up freely with each other. You listen to their advice. They give you unbiased advice. So on the flip side, why would someone be a mentor? You hear a lot about giving back and the fact that maybe it's to a certain industry or profession. You've been in this profession for a while. You want to see it continue to succeed. You want to make sure that those that are in this industry or profession have the same opportunities that you have enjoyed or been given. Maybe someone did the same for you. Maybe you had that person that was in your corner as you were rising up or as you were moving throughout some personal or professional difficulties, or someone that was there for you and you want to be the same for another person or persons. Maybe it's a desire to help someone avoid some of the same mistakes that you've made. You had some challenges. You don't want to see someone go through those same or similar challenges that you went through. Maybe you're approached by a respected individual that you see or can foresee this person developing a mentoring relationship with, that this is a prime candidate for a mentee, that you see the potential in someone, that you actively go out and say, this person is either going to help my company, it's going to help me grow as a person, I'm gonna see some benefits, as well as this person's gonna see some benefits from the relationship that we forged together. And it's important to note, and hopefully we'll touch on this throughout the presentation tonight, but mentoring is really a two-way street. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. It's not all one-sided. There's advantages for both the mentor and mentee. But mentors need to want to mentor, and mentees need to want to be mentored. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to Mike, and he's going to talk about some benefits. Yep. I will. Want this?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Give me my slide caddy. Dan touched on this a bit. There would be no mentoring if it weren't of some value to a mentor. It goes without saying, I guess. There are a number of reasons that I mentioned here, but can you think of any that fit into these categories? And we'll go through them in a sec. How would a mentor benefit from this kind of a relationship? What is it about, or maybe I should ask this, has anyone ever been a mentor to someone younger or yes? So you're a teacher, and you had an opportunity to mentor younger teachers who were just coming in, lots of experience that you could transfer. To endear your hires up, did you find any value in it yourself? Did you? Okay.
I always think two minds, think better than one, so you can bounce ideas off or maybe team or plan something together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you teach individually, but you still are benefiting from shared interests and ideas, and certainly the feeling of satisfaction. And I know when I started, they didn't have mentors, and so I really struggled my first year or two, and I always promised myself I would never let someone else go through that because it's just hard. Why reinvent?
Mm-hmm. Those are great examples, and one of the ones that that I think is easy to overlook is the opportunity to learn. A mentor does have, especially if you're dealing with younger people, or one of the things that Dan and I will talk about is mentoring doesn't have to happen all in the same industry. If you're in the steel business, you can still talk to somebody who's in the computer business about how to grow in their development at their corporation or in their company. So there's a lot of opportunity to learn, and that's a way to keep fresh and to stay current in your trade. Especially that teaching example is a good one. I think the satisfaction of helping someone else grow in their field is, you'll see it probably on every other slide, but to me, it's really the linchpin of this whole relationship is the satisfaction, the passing forth of really valuable advice to people when they need it, when they're most needy. Another one that came up with some discussions we had with other people, the growth in your personal network. Just because you're in a mentoring position, you've reached a certain point in your career, you still need to grow your personal network always. A personal network that doesn't continue to move forward is bound to get stagnant. None of us is ever, we never have too many friends, we never have too many connections, we never have too many points where we can go and rely on other people. The refinement of coaching and communication skills is another valuable one. You may not think about it, but when you're helping a student or when you're helping a younger professional, it's great for your own abilities. It's great training for you for future mentoring and even in whatever it is that you do in your day-to-day life. And finally, it's a source of meaningful relationships, and we'll talk about this a little later on, but at its core, the mentoring is really about relationships. And that, to me, in the mentoring relationship as I've had it in my life, both as a mentor and as a mentee, that's really what it's been all about, is the that relationship that was built. So that's how a mentor benefits, but and it's obviously easier to get some of these out of the way for the mentee. Can you help me out? Can you tell me if you've ever had a mentee relationship? Have you ever had someone mentor you? Raise your hand. In the middle. Can you tell me, give me one obvious answer, one reason it worked for you?
Right now I commercialized a product that I invented, and I use actually someone through Jumpstart who is mentoring me through the process of commercializing the product. So it was very important that I learn the ins and outs on how to commercialize the product. And we get together once a month, maybe twice a month, and to make sure that he challenges me as far as my decisions, and he guides me as far as, you know, if I'm making right moves or if I should, if I'm doing the right moves. And so for me, it's very important, very beneficial for me to continue the success and the growth by being able to bounce my thoughts and my ideas against someone else, and I want him to challenge me. And so the mentorship works out very well in that perspective.
I like that element of challenge. It's not all just, you know, here's something I did and here's, you know, something that you'd benefit from. That's definitely a form of your growth. As I've been thinking about this over the last couple weeks, the top one for me was the most important, the access to experience and different perspectives. When you're talking about mentorship, really what mentorship is all about is having someone who's already been through some of the things that you're about to go through tell you how he or she dealt with it and maybe help you figure out a way that you can deal with it yourself. Not tell you how to deal with it, but help you through really coaching decide what your strategy is going to be to solve that problem. And the other thing is different perspectives. There are, and I think I'm going to be stepping on Dan's part here. Dan, forgive me. There is the mythology that an entrepreneur or a business owner is a lone wolf. But the reality is that no, they very often have mentors, advisors, teammates. And one of the best reasons to do that, one of the best reasons is to surround yourself in a small company or in another area of your life, is to get a different perspective. I've gotten to be kind of set in my ways. I'm 53 years old. I've got little kids, and I think I know everything. They will tell you otherwise. Now and then, someone brings a new perspective about parenting, and it's fantastic. Almost any relationship that you're in, you can get some advice, and certainly with a mentor, it can be much more fruitful. A mature advisor. Not all mentors are older than their mentees, but it's very often the case. And sometimes some of the, and again, when we talk to students, sometimes just a hand on somebody's shoulder to talk about, you know, just being a little more mature, or at least a different perspective that's a little more mature. Again, the personal network, improvement in strategic thinking and communication skills. Sometimes if you're mentoring someone who's younger and very excited about an idea, they don't even think about worrying about how to present it. The idea is good enough on its own. Nobody needs to tell me how to sell it. It's going to sell itself. On the contrary. And a mentor can get that across to a younger person or to a person who's starting a new business and say, you know what, we're all in sales. We've all got to communicate. And finally, the one I would talk about is the teammate element and the partner element. Just someone to sit around and bounce ideas off of. A mentor-mentee relationship is not Moses and the tablet and come down with the rules. It's very much a conversation, and it's very much about sometimes brainstorming how to solve a problem. Not every mentor has a solution to every problem. So that conversation is often the way you work through a situation.
Sir, yep. I think that's the key item right there, is that when someone starts something the first time, they're sort of flawed, they know something about a product or a service, so they have some reason
for to energize them to do it, but they haven't done it before, so they need someone to guide them. And that person has been there or in a similar situation. But sometimes having both people unsure is very reassuring for the mentee because they realize that that's life.
Right.
And there are always things that are new. And that's one of the, that's a really important thing to learn as a mentee and as a mentor, that, oh my gosh, we're both learning here. And because the world changes. And no matter, even if you've done something 20 times, it might be different the 21st time. But you may wonder, what am I going to do? But the mentor also, the world changed. You know, I mean, look at my career, 44 years since I graduated from college. And how many things are different? Technology and everything else, information, everything is so different. And yet, it's changing again. And it'll change in another 5 years. So what I'm comfortable with 5 years ago already has changed. And so I can be a mentor to someone else, but I also need a mentor who is not always comfortable with things so that I can keep being reassured that it's okay not to know everything. Does that make any sense?
It makes absolute sense. Great point. You know, one of the metaphors that you hear, or people talk about mentoring, coaching, not exactly the same thing, but the one way I think that fails, the coaching metaphor, is it's not a coach on the sidelines shouting at a kid, here's what I told you to do, here's what... It really is a relationship, and what you just described fits that exactly. Am I still up? Where do we go here? Yes, the mentoring relationship. You read my mind. At the outset, you've got to know, it is a relationship. It isn't just me telling you what to do. Early on in this relationship, as in any relationship, obviously it's done differently in different kinds of relationships, but in this kind of relationship, it's important to set the goals and expectations early on. This is why I want to be a mentor. This is what you can expect from me. And on the mentee side, this is why I need a mentor. These are the problems I need help with. These are the issues that I'm just not clear on. That relationship will be much more fruitful if there's that kind of communication right up front. I need to note also that it's a professional relationship. So things like, and this is more for the mentee, things like punctuality and respect are critical. It's also a relationship that's unpaid and voluntary, you know, 99% of the time. So you've got to go overboard on both those elements. If you say you're going to be somewhere at 9 o'clock and your mentor's there at 9 o'clock, you better be there at 8:59. You don't come rolling in at 10 after. Now, part of this is Dan and I have a bias because we work with students all the time. And my God, you never know where they're going to show up. In my case, somehow they always show up about 15 minutes early, which doesn't help me either. But so there needs to be respect, honesty, and punctuality to make this relationship work. Am I still on? One more, okay. So, take a look at some of these roles of a mentor that I've listed and see if you can come up with some examples that fill these descriptions. I have them all myself, but I would be I'd be very happy if you took some of these off my hand. Can anyone think of a mentor as an advisor, or a connector, or as an educator, listener? Any of these things make sense? Has anybody been in a mentoring or mentee relationship where these descriptions are true? All right, you asked for it. I'm going to go right down my list. Yep, okay, saved. Yes.
Well, which one? Any of them?
Yeah, can you think of any of them that makes sense to you?
Well, all of them make sense, but the one that I think I'd like to focus in on is this leveler relationship not too high, not too low, because the bottom line is that you have to take the people where they are and not where you are, where you want them to be, but take them exactly where they are and help them to grow incrementally if need be by setting parameters and by giving them different types of ideas that are suited to where they are instead of talking about things that they don't even know about in order to help them.
One of the best pieces of advice I got from Peter Ray, who was this 29-year BW professor, was you got to meet them where they are. And that took me a long time. I'm only at the beginning of my third year at BW. And it's taken me about, it took me about a year and a half to figure out what that meant. And it for sure is relevant in a mentoring relationship. Yep.
When they're feeling a little too puffed up because they've just made a sale and they think they can do anything, you got to pop that balloon.
Exactly. The example I use is I was in business. I had a company for almost 25 years. My brother and I were partners. And we played those roles exactly as necessary. He typically was the one who was a little higher, and I was a little more dour and bring him down. And then there were times when I was way down, and he'd say, "Hey, look what we got to do." And that's one of the things that team building is so helpful with. And a mentor can really, really play the role of a teammate to a mentee as well. A lot of these folks really are lone wolves, whether they should be or not. So a mentor can play that balancing role.
And along with that, then being a good listener is crucial to all of it, because you have to sharpen your listening skills to understand not only where this person is, but some of the nuances that feed into all of it to help you to get a greater appreciation for where this person is or what this person's dealing with at any given time, so that you can provide these leveling pieces to help this person to grow.
And the flip side of that is when you have to explain something, you're starting something in your role, for example, trying something, and you think you have it, try explaining it to someone else. And all of a sudden, all the holes show up. And so you need a listener. You need someone else who can, you know, who can just be there and, oh my gosh, I didn't see the booby traps until right. I tried to explain it. It seemed so fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or oftentimes you're in it so deep that you're blinded. You can't. You're so focused that you don't see those holes, and that's why that third party or that unbiased perspective is so important.
Right.
Back row.
Want the mentor that has the connections or can connect you. You know, there's a lot of brilliant people in the world, but they're smart people. What's the difference? The smart people know that what they don't know, and they reach out to other people to get the right answer. Well, just why you go to a mentor, but a mentor does that too. Mentor, at least the ones I've had, have always been mature enough to say, I don't know that, but let's go to the Rolodisc, old term, contact list, and let's find somebody that can help us. So a lot of that is that maturity, but also not shouldn't look at as a mentor as they have all the answers.
How is the audio in here? Because this is all good stuff. I want to make sure everybody hears it. Are you able to hear around the room? Okay. All right. The others are self-evident. Counselor, cautious, cheerleader, constructive critic, all those are easy to understand. So, Dan?
Okay, so you're ready. You've established that you're in search of someone that can maybe assist you, and you might be able to assist that person in return. How do you go about finding a mentor? These are some broad, general points or steps to take, And then later on in the presentation, we're going to talk about some resources here in town that make it a little bit easier to find and connect you with mentors and establishing those relationships. What kind of specific role are you going to want your mentor to play? Mentioned earlier that there's both personal and professional mentors. This person might be a person that you rely heavily on in your business career, or this person might be someone that you go to for, as Mike mentioned before, maybe parenting advice. Maybe it's about family issues that you might be having. Maybe that's someone that can counsel you through some challenging roads that you're facing on a personal level versus a professional level. So there's a distinction there. So what kind of role are you going to want that person to play? Then it's all about, okay, who do I know and who do they know? And making a list of those possibilities, making a list of those targets of the people that you might want to reach out to and find out if they're interested in being a mentor or mentoring you or even striking up that initial conversation. And as any good salesperson will do, you have to prepare. You have to prepare for your ask. You have to prepare for that conversation that you eventually have with that person. Oftentimes, it's a very soft ask, or it's a soft approach to that person. Maybe it's a couple different lunches or coffees or conversations that you have with them before you even broach the subject of being a mentor. To make sure that person is comfortable with what you're about to ask him or her to be a part of your life, either business or personal. And then cast the line for all those fishermen out there. So how to find that mentor? Listed a few idea starters. For those of you that have had mentors or are currently in a mentor-mentee relationship, how did you go about finding your mentor or your mentors? Great, great, great example. Anybody else?
I went to where it was happening and, got to know the person, and she just started her role in mentoring. You know, she wanted to, which was great for me.
I'm assuming it's a great feeling to walk into a situation where that person knows right away that they're excited, they know that they can and are willing to help you in the way that you need to be coached or mentored. That's a great example. Anybody else?
Shy. I was very analytical. Finance management strategy was my background. I'm a business person. I thought of myself as that. It was all my training, 2 degrees. And 14 years into my business career, Cleveland State came and asked me to teach a course in strategic management, which is what I did professionally. And it happened to be one of my college professors, one of my graduate professors. And I said, I'll prove to everyone that I'm not an instructor. And he was the best mentor in the world, because he already knew me. And, he was a senior professor, and it was great having him. And so I started initially doing things the way he did it, and eventually went way beyond, totally different, when PowerPoint came out, used PowerPoints, then went way beyond that, never used a PowerPoint again, experiential learning, very hands-on, just the way I was in the business world. So, the mentor was very helpful at first, very helpful in follow-up, and then went way beyond. But in terms of dealing with people, still, he's still a mentor.
Did you Do you feel that that's a reciprocal relationship, that he, in turn, is learning a lot from you as well?
Exactly. We work together on a lot of other things.
It's great.
So, you know, it's definitely a professional thing, and we still learn from each other. So, you know, and who would have known? I mean, I don't know why I didn't say no, but I'm glad I didn't. And he helped me grow, and then I went beyond that. And, you know, I mean, they say that when you get out of school, you stop learning, but no, you start learning. And having someone, you know, that you can, close personal friends, no, we didn't have a lot in common. But professionally, I mean, the way, you know, it was fantastic. And it was good to use his model. And then I developed what was good for me. And the world changed, and I changed, and everything else. And then I adapted to that. I mean, you know, no one talked about experiential learning back in 1984, you know. And I was one of the leaders of that, you know, 10 years after that. So it was really exciting, you know. And then I became a mentor for other people. And the same thing, and I used his role. The interesting thing is I used his role as a mentor to me, as a guide to help me mentor other people, and knew when to back off and so forth. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's really, once you start doing it as a mentee, you kind of, you know, watch out for what it turns out. It's really exciting.
And I think you touched on a great point, too, is that this is a ever-changing, ever-evolving, as any relationship is, where you're going to have to work through some situations that you can foresee and work through situations that neither of you have any idea are on that path of that mentor-mentee relationship, and how you work through those and how you communicate and figure out challenges and how you continue to motivate each other are all super important parts of that relationship. So great, thank you. So colleagues inside, outside the organization, instructors that you might have, ideally someone who knows you, knows your strengths and weaknesses, can push you in certain ways that maybe others can't push you in, or maybe understands your personality and knows when to really get in there and provide some constructive criticism, or knows the situations where you might need a pat on the back. You know, targeting maybe some respected professionals in a certain industry, maybe someone that you don't know personally, maybe you're connected with them through another person in your network, or maybe it's that true cold call or a cold email to that respected individual that you saw maybe an article about and you're interested in knowing more about it. Sometimes the relationships, mentor-mentee relationships, can happen out of persons that aren't connected initially. We'll mention later on how to connect with willing mentors through professional organizations, as you brought up, through Jumpstart. And the most important thing to remember, I think one of the most important things to remember, is to really start to work outside of your comfort zone. You know, it's easy to think about the friends or the colleagues that are going to tell you things that you want to hear, or that are going to know you and tell you things that are going to be pleasing to you and don't challenge you as much. But the real solid, progressive mentor-mentee relationships are those that maybe are associations that you wouldn't have thought were going to work out from the beginning, or those that you wouldn't have even considered. It could be you're a male and you go to a female, or vice versa, in terms of a mentor-mentee relationship. Maybe it's someone, as Mike mentioned before, that's not someone that's even in your industry. You know, it's someone that you admire just from a professional perspective on how they act, how they react, what kinds of things they've done to push forward their business. And maybe it's some similar situations or examples that you can use within your industry.
Thank you.
I think that's the most important thing you've said so far, that outside of the comfort zone in so many ways.
Thank you. I'm glad I said it and Mike didn't. We touched on these points a little bit, but here's some more qualities of a good mentor and what someone that you're seeking or someone that you're mentoring, maybe some things to keep in mind when you find yourself in this mentor-mentee relationship. Effective, active listener, a strong collaborator. It is about teamwork. It is about working together. An advisor versus someone that says, well, I did it this way, or here's how you should do it. More of a relationship where, hey, did you consider this? Or let's think about this for a minute and maybe put our heads together on an approach. Knowing or learning your strengths and weaknesses. Maybe this person doesn't know you at the outset of this relationship, but it grows into a relationship where they start to understand your push points. They start to understand how to motivate you. They start to understand your thinking and maybe what you would do in a certain situation. They might be able to push you in a different direction so it can expand your knowledge and expand your approach and mind a little bit more. And definitely being a creative thinker. How can I cause this person or help this person look at or consider or understand things in a different way? Analytical, a seasoned veteran. You can draw on his or her own experiences, which is a huge part of mentoring. Balancing that coach-mentor role. And as I mentioned in the last slide, encouraging options, not just jumping right to the solution. You mentioned earlier about dealing with maybe mentees in different stages of their career and maybe wanting to push that person to a certain level or to a certain experience, but they might not be ready for that. They might not be ready for that experience yet. Based on their age, based on what kind of experience they've had in the field. So it's really important to understand that and not jump ahead too far in these relationships. How about expectations? You as a mentee or you as a mentor, your expectations of a mentor. You have to be willing to share. You have to be willing to share your ideas. You have to be willing to share your knowledge. And you definitely have to be willing to share your network. You might not have all the answers mentioned before, but if you're willing to open up your network to a mentee, that's a beautiful thing because you know you get that in return tenfold. Accountability, doing what you say you will do. Setting expectations and then meeting those expectations is truly important in this relationship. Being accessible, being available, knowing that you're going to get sometimes maybe frantic calls at times that might not be most opportune to take the call, but at least being able to take that call or respond to that email in a timely manner, or being able to offer that advice for that person when they're in a desperate situation or they feel like they need an answer quicker than you might be willing to give. But being able to shift your schedule or being able to shift and provide that support for that person who might truly need it at that time. And being enthusiastic, having a sense of enthusiasm for this relationship helps it grow tremendously and helps it foster just great, creative, new ways of thinking about problems and challenges and being able to really make it a stronger relationship as it grows. It's me too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You've got to handle
Yes. Thank you.
After you've done all of that, to be able to show a measure of patience to let the process work and not push it too fast or too slow, but just be patient with the people you're working with in order to let them have a chance to examine and play with a lot of those ideas, I think is key.
You said it much better than I said it about 5 minutes ago. That was perfect. Patience and being able to wait that out and let that mentee understand and allow them to work out the solution as you direct it. It's great. As a mentee, maybe some expectations of a mentee, knowing your needs, being committed to this mentor-mentee relationship, that it's not going to be an overnight sensation. There's going to be some work involved in it, and that you're going to have to put in some time and effort in order for this mentor sometimes to be comfortable with providing you with advice and guidance and opening up his or her network to you. That's going to take some rapport building. That's going to take some time to build your relationship. We talked about accountability and being prepared. Follow-up as a mentee, hugely important. Again, doing what you say you're going to do and having that list followed up on when you meet back with your mentor. Being humble, being vulnerable, being able to accept that constructive criticism and knowing that you might not know all the answers and that you're willing to put yourself out there to get some strong advice, sometimes critical advice in certain situations. And then being selfless. Again, this should be a reciprocal relationship, and that when it comes time to being able to provide for your mentor what your mentor has provided for you, that's, again, one of the huge benefits and the strengths of the mentor-mentee relationship.
Okay. Don't obsess about that. Don't not get a mentor because you're not sure. You know what you need at the beginning, but it will evolve. Your needs will change.
Yes.
Almost on a daily, hourly basis. So don't obsess about that and not get a mentor because it will change. As you grow, your needs will evolve.
Great point. Thank you. Talk a little bit more about mentoring organizations in Northeast Ohio, Mike.
Polly, is there any internet here? Mm-hmm. Automatically, I think
it should go right there.
All right. As luck would have it, there is one really, really great mentoring organization in town. The one you referred to earlier tonight. It's the Jumpstart Burton D. Morgan Mentoring Program. It's not all that old. It was based on the MIT mentoring process. What I would say about it is they do a lot of the things that have been replicated in other places. For example, one of the points that I'd like to lift up here, multiple mentors are assigned to often to each case. So you might have two or three or four, and that, if I were constructing my own relationship with a mentor, if I were out selecting my own plan, I would think about more than one, because many different mentors can have different perspectives. Many can have an expertise. And so you should take advantage of that expertise, but don't rely on everything. This is not, for example, like selecting a spouse. You can have more than one. One of the things that I really like about the Burton D. Morgan Jumpstart program is when you look at their application, one of the questions they ask is, are you in the region or can you move here? Because really what they're after, above all, is economic development in the region. So, number one, it's a priority and it's gonna affect all of your relationships with your mentors. But it also limits, in a certain way, the kinds of mentees that they can have. If you're just a little guy, you know, you want to open up a pizza place or something, that may not be a jumpstart candidate. That doesn't suggest that there are no mentors out there for you, but that just may not be the right place for you. There's a very short video that I'll try this, that describes the program. Here, you're my guy. Yeah, the link is embedded. Yep.
Oh, well, then I'm going to do this.
Yeah, all right. You have to do it right from the computer.
Okay. No. This actually, we can jump ahead just a little bit. Another really great resource, really local, is on the previous slide. Dan?
Where do you want to go? The top one?
I want to click on this. Right here. Right upstairs, the Burton D. Morgan Center for Entrepreneurial Research. They have an opportunity to connect with Polly. Am I right about this? It looked to me like an opportunity to get into mentoring programs right here in Hudson or in the county.
And the forms are right in the back if you want to grab one when you leave.
The forms are right in the back. How about that? Does anybody mind if I show this little video? It's just a few minutes. We okay on time? Everything? Everybody still with us? Okay. So back.
The only thing we're not sure about is the sound, because I don't know if they set that up.
So dependent on a mouse before. I'm like left-handed this way.
We're creating a community of mentors. This is a group of dedicated individuals who want to see the economy grow by supporting promising startups in the region.
That exposed us to this tremendous talent that we otherwise would not have access to.
We get to work on what I see as a mission of mentoring, and that is in supporting young entrepreneurs in their efforts to grow their businesses.
The question was, how can we connect the best business advisors of Northeast Ohio with the most promising startups in the region to foster more entrepreneurial success? Startups with access to active and helpful advisors were 7.5 times more likely to raise funds and 3.5 times more likely to gain customers.
I think the value of team mentoring is all about the different experiences that each person brings to the table.
With multiple people on the team from various backgrounds, you get a lot of insight.
You do get conflicting advice, so by sitting them down together and having them hash out the situation and describe it from their perspective, you're really getting some clarity.
You get three very different perspectives.
And they do bring some consistency. They're not always in agreement, but they do bring some consistency.
You have the mentoring team, but the mentoring team has their team too. Them opening those doors and those connections up to you is incredibly valuable.
We have a diverse community of mentors that we're building, but they really fall into three categories. The first is serial entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs who have made their success in retail and advanced materials and software, a wide range of industry experience.
The second group is corporate executives, those who have risen to the top of some of the area's largest corporations and can bring to bear extraordinary networks to help their clients. And the final bucket, as we call it, is really the strategic mentors. And this is a mixed bucket of sales gurus, marketing gurus, venture capitalists, talent executives, who can really help round out the advisory functions of the mentoring program office.
I've been successful working with early stage startup companies in the past. I think I've got some things that I can share. And $250 million venture fund was enough to allow me to learn a few things.
I've not seen an issue or a problem raised that one or two mentors in the program hasn't already experienced themselves. This is how we dealt with it. This is how I dealt with it. Draw your own conclusions, but I'd be happy to help further if I can. And I think that's invaluable to an aspiring entrepreneur.
There's a million reasons why they should want to participate, but it's great free, quote unquote, free advice that they can get from amazing individuals who can help them.
Everybody's been very candid and really kind of helped me to get it started. And I want to be able to learn from the mentors and from their experience and how they have done in the past. And those are going to be very valuable lessons for me going forward.
Well, to be honest, I mean, the group kind of gives me the confidence to move forward with all of those tough situations that I'm thinking about as I'm laying in bed at night.
Most entrepreneurs, you just make this up as you're going along. And it's kind of nice to have somebody give you a playbook and say, you don't have to make this up as you go along. Here's how you do it.
As we continue to grow the program, we continue to build the energy around the program. We continue to bring better mentors and better clients, and the momentum just continues to build. We're already seeing some really exciting results, proving our hypothesis that when you can bring together a committed group of experienced and successful mentors together with the next generation of the most promising startup entrepreneurs, you can do some really amazing things.
Slick, obviously well done. Note to self, get a British guy for my program, Blackstone Launchpad, because almost everything he says sounds much more authentic than when I say it. I didn't mean to gloss over the Hudson Library, but I couldn't find as much information about it. But I'm pleased to hear there are forms in the back. How many of you are in the process of starting a business or thinking about it? Are you interested in mentoring or being mentored for a commercial reason? Is that fair to say that a lot of you are here for that? Okay, great. So we haven't been too far off target, and this is the world Dan and I live in, so good. I've listed a few more of the local mentoring organizations in town. One of the ones that I'm very fond of is SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives. There's a Summit County chapter. There's a Cleveland chapter. They both do great work. Bad Girl Ventures is an entrepreneurship program for ostensibly for women, but there have been a few men that have been hanging around there. As it happens, they're at BW this semester for their entire program. It's a really fantastic enterprise. Cozy is very good. They have mentors that can be assigned. Hard-headed women, obviously, is a particular industry. The YWCA, Greater Cleveland. The last one, Global Cleveland, just has a long list of Northeast Ohio mentoring programs. One of the things that struck me as I was researching this a couple weeks ago was the plethora of mentoring programs for young people. Everywhere you look, if you are 15 to 25, you have fantastic opportunities to be mentored. So if you have young people in your life, whether they're your children or your students or neighbors or whatever, consider passing along that information. That some of the best mentoring programs in town are for young people. And on that same note, kind of following up on the lack of, lots of adult entrepreneurship programs. The ones we have are very good. But I want to amplify something that Dan was saying earlier, and that is that a really valuable route for you to take yourself is to research the mentor yourself, the individual, and track him or her down. With something like LinkedIn, you're never more than two or three connections away. If you find somebody, if you see somebody in the paper that says something that really moves you or that really connects with what you're doing, do not hesitate to contact that person. You would be blown away at how generous people are, especially if they get the sense that you could really use their help. So don't necessarily rely on, you know, only on a network of a network in the Northeast Ohio organization list. Seek out a mentor yourself. One of the things that's important for this relationship to work is to set out some achievable goals. We see a lot of students in my job at BW, and what I've finally figured out after a couple of years is that attainability is something that's really important to communicate in a mentoring relationship. Again, it's a little different because they're students, but every mentoring relationship should start out with a discussion like, what is it we're really trying to achieve here? What is it we need to do? Are we starting a company? Are we just trying to learn about entrepreneurship? Do we have another goal in mind? What resources do we have? And what kind of a timetable are you on? Does this thing have to get done in 6 months? Or is this something that you'd like to figure out over the next few years? It's going to help in your scheduling. And which answers the next question, how will we get there? How often should we meet the mentor and the mentee? How long are these meetings going to be? Can we do it over the phone? Can we Skype? What's the format? Who's leading the meetings? All that is fully negotiable. But the important thing is that it's negotiable, that you do talk about it right up front. It'll be the cornerstone of your relationship with your mentor or mentee. Two other things. It's important to have some simple metrics in this relationship. Don't get bogged down keeping track of every last thing, but it would be valuable if you can say to your mentor or mentee, I'd like to be here by this point, or I'd like to add a team member in 6 months, or I'd like to raise a certain amount of money by a certain date. So there is a way to measure whether this relationship is working or whether it's just somebody to hang with. Having somebody to hang with isn't so bad, but to really get your bang for the buck in a relationship like this, metrics are valuable. And finally, it's a good idea to have an escape clause right out front and say to the mentee, you know, this, we would love it if this would work. I would really like this to work. But if it doesn't, that's okay. Let's not do this till the end of time. I have this situation with students a lot, to the point where after a couple meetings, maybe they don't like what's going on, and I swear they stop going to the student union. They're afraid they're going to run into me. I think you have to say right up front, let's make this work, but if it doesn't, that's okay too. Lots of other mentors out there. We've touched on a lot of this, so I'll go through it kind of quickly. How to be a standout mentee. Again, keeping in mind that this is a voluntary relationship and it's not paid, you want to be as good a receiver of this relationship as you can be. Don't just listen and leave and come back and hear the same advice again and again and again. Do what you're told. Be resourceful. This is something that I read that a mentor said the other day that he respects most of all in his mentees. If they're resourceful, if I lead them in a certain direction, maybe it's not quite right, maybe it's close, but then they follow up and they take a different turn and they find a solution themselves. That's being resourceful. Obviously, humility, you want to be easy to work with. Closing the loop is another one, where maybe over a period of time, certain discussions happen, but again, until something actually happens at the end, until the mentee finally takes the advice and acts on it and comes up with a solution, there's no loop to be closed. And finally, you want to be inquisitive, willing to learn, and accommodating beyond all accommodation. Every time your mentor needs to meet with you, I should say wants to meet with you, you've got to do it. If a mentor can't meet with you, that's fine. We do it again soon. Just be accommodating. And I think this is the last, this may be the last slide. And this is the kind of the soft stuff, but I wanted to talk about it anyway. You know, again, Dan and I are on the mentoring side at this point, but both of us have benefited from mentors through our entire lives. I can think of two or three that I literally would not be here today, and I would not have had a company for 25 years without guidance from two particular mentors. Both of these long-standing mentors in my life, one was a mentor and became a friend, the other was a friend and became a mentor. And at the end of it all, I now have two mentors and two friends. And that really, in my mind, is an ideal mentoring relationship. If you are respectful of each other's time, if you challenge each other, if you listen to each other, you cannot help but have a great relationship with your mentor or your mentee. You cannot help but benefit, and you cannot help but make a friend through the whole process. I would say, certainly in the two cases that I'm thinking of for myself, they are the most gratifying relationships I have in my life, outside of my spouse and children, of course. If they're here, sweetie, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. You have an opportunity to fulfill a shared goal and have fun at the same time. Sometimes, and in my case, with one of my mentors, the roles are reversed. Things happened in his life down the line when I was able to mentor him. Fantastic. Imagine that opportunity to give back that way for myself. In the end, you have to have gratitude in mind. If someone has reached out to you, given you advice, taken time, you can only be grateful. Even if it ends up not being all that great, you've got to be grateful. So gratitude at the end of it all. Sure. I have a slide guy that does
the
that.
Technology. Tell me when five is. I wasn't counting.
One more.
Okay.
I think there's something in here that has a specific purpose, but I want to disagree or want, you know, I don't want it to be limiting. The other line, are you in the region or can you move here? Okay. You know, with the technology today, you can be around the world.
I'm going to interrupt and say that I absolutely agree. You are absolutely right. There is no there anymore. We're all in the same place. The distinction here is that both Jumpstart and Burton B. Morgan are committed to growing the local economy. So they, even though they can Skype you in San Diego, they want you here growing our economy. But your point is well taken.
We're here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, I don't want someone who's going to be my direct competitor. They won't give, you know, it won't work. But if they're in Chicago, or, you know, they could be in Scotland, it doesn't matter. We can work that out because the benefits are so.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's a good point.
You know, there's a specific purpose for that, but I don't want people to generalize in the right.
Right, okay. No. That's a great question. The obvious answer is, all things being equal, and I don't want to speak for my good friends across the street at Burton D. Morgan, I know generally what they're about, but so I'm not their spokesman. All things being equal, they want you to do your business here, but they don't want you to flounder because they want to grow the local economy, but they for sure want you to prosper. We all want you to prosper. So yeah, don't limit yourself and go out of business because some guy in September of 2014 told you to only draw on local mentors. For sure, almost all the ones that we looked at, in particular Stanford and MIT, generally speaking, they're committed to helping their alumni, but everybody knows somebody from Stanford and MIT at this point, so you could for sure get connected. I was really, really surprised at what great information I was able to find on lots of mentoring programs around the country just from my house in Bay Village.
I think I'd like to go back to what either you or you said, maybe a few slides even before that, and to put it in layman's terms, you know, we need all of it. Literally, we need all of it because, as you said, sometimes we benefit from people who, and from organizations that are even outside of the scope of our business. But they have skills and talents and imaginations and abilities that can help us to hurdle certain aspects of our business, even though they're not even in, for example, the software business.
Correct.
So we need that, and then we need people like this who can mentor us, too, to help us grow the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
Nope,
you did. I so right that I'm not even going to repeat it. I think everybody to hear it. What are there any other questions about any of this today? I don't need to see a show of hands. Would you give me a nod if this was reasonably interesting and helpful? Yep, good. Lots of nods. I like that. I do that with students because they're so bashful. Thank you for those nods. Are there any other questions for Dan? And we'll stick around afterwards. If you've got something you want to talk about personally, that's great. But otherwise, I think we are done. Polly and all of you from the library, we love being here. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate your attention. And I hope you all do well, whether you find a mentor or not, with whatever here you were here for. And I think if you go to all four, you get a certificate, right?
That's right.
Beautiful. Okay.
You can sign up online from our website if you haven't already. And please fill out the evaluation forms. It helps the library, and it also helps our speakers. Thank you.
Thank you,
Dan and Mike. We appreciate it.